this is Ozarks at Large. The Vine Brothers are not brothers, but they make great music. Garrett Jones, Joe Credit III, and Greg Bucking hail from all over the country. But Garrett does call Northwest Arkansas home. And it was in Northwest Arkansas that the Vine Brothers recorded their new CD, No Candy, their first recording in 3 years. Since it was recorded here, there are some familiar musical guests included on the disc, like Candy Lee, Adams Collins, and Anthony Ball. Last week, the band was passing through the area for a couple of performances, and they came to the Furman Garner Performance Studio to play for us, including this rendition of the last song on the new CD, titled East of Albuquerque.
Thank you.
Greg Bucking, Joe Credit III, and Garrett Jones performing East of Albuquerque from their new CD, No Candy. During their time at the Carver Center for Public Radio, they also talked to us about making the new CD and told us the song we just heard does owe a bit of inspiration to a kind of movie that was popular a few decades ago. As I heard it on the disc, and then as I heard it here inside the Furman Garner Performance Studio, I wondered, has anybody here, especially Greg, since that tune is yours, ever watched a spaghetti western?
Oh, God, yeah.
Yes.
I'm a huge, the Blondie, Clint Eastwood series with The Good, Bad, and the Ugly, and Fistful of Dollars, all that, you know. So, yes, Ennio Morricone and
so was I right that
style
I...
style is...
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah. Absolutely. Oh, yeah. I mean, it's... Yeah, I think it's pretty obvious. But, yeah, that's always been a huge, influence is film music, and definitely spaghetti westerns is part of that. So they kind of started with that sort of intro, and then we went back into the gypsy bluegrass thing, and so just to kind of show a little of that, where that's coming from, and then delve into what we're doing, and it sort of ties in with the title because East Albuquerque is sort of the, when you're in the West and it's very dry, and there's a certain feeling of openness and, there's just something there. And then as you go east, you're going downhill and it's getting wetter and hotter and there's more people. And so there's a difference of feel as you go from one physical place to the other. And so I wanted the music to sort of reflect that,
go from expensive vistas down to more busy.
Yeah, we're down, speed. It's quicker and there's more going on than there's,
Was it written, was it inspired by going east of Albuquerque? Was it written going east of Albuquerque or...
Well, it was sort of a feeling that I had gotten multiple times from spending a lot of time in the West, and then it's like, okay, it's time to go home because I'm from the East Coast. I'm from New York originally, and and there's that dividing line. Once you get a little bit through the plains, and then through halfway through Oklahoma, or if you're going through Kansas, wherever you are, you kind of get that feel of that difference, and somehow there was that feeling that I wanted to express somehow in a song.
Well, and whistle at the end. I love the whistling at the end, Garrett.
I've been practicing months for this, so I got years playing bass, but whistle, full-time devotion.
Yeah. And actually, you benefited from being in the studio for that because you start with the bow,
yeah,
then with the hand, and then you got to go back to the bow.
Yeah.
So having a table helped.
It was much easier than trying to drop the bow to the floor and then immediately bend over, picking it up. There's a short time period between that, so live shows, it's a lot of fun, just like... trying to see how fast you can get hold of that, so but without damaging your bow, because
and that's
very
how
delicate.
It was recorded that way too. The one on the CD. I mean,
it was a live take.
It was live, so I mean, it's
really
sort of from
yeah.
That
no, everything
feel.
On this new disc we try to do is a live take, at least for the instrumentals. We tried to. That was a big goal with this new CD. We'd been limited budgetarily and same thing
spatially
to make this happen. Unfortunately, this last year wound up getting hold of a farm out here in Arkansas. We'd managed to acquire all the mics that we needed to make this finally happen. So the first two discs we'd all multi-tracked on, and it didn't quite capture the constant live sound that worked well for this instrumentation. We do a lot of feeding off each other, so it was very nice to finally have the opportunity to be able to do all the instrumental takes live. So even the tracks that have like Anthony Ball and drum set, we did all the instrumentals live, and then we came back in and did all the vocals live on top of that later. So it was very much more of an organic sound compared to what we'd had previously on the two discs.
The picture of Anthony on the inset was taken in Garrett's kitchen.
Yeah, well, you can see the sink behind.
Oh yeah,
Anthony, the
Dawn detergent. And
you can make a studio.
But you got to make do with what you have. So, but I was very happy. This new house that we wound up getting a hold of had very vaulted ceilings, so you didn't have to add a lot of reverb or anything to it. And the room sounded really nice because it was fairly empty at the time too. While I've been in the process of trying to renovate this home, and so it was like right in the middle of the renovations and right before we moved in, so we just had the space wide open to do whatever we wanted to with it. And it worked out fantastic. So.
It's fun.
Yeah, it worked out good. So
take your time. You're not watching the studio clock and the budget and thinking about money. It's just like, we'll get it. If we don't get it, we'll try it tomorrow.
Yep.
Because generally, if you're renting a studio, you have it for X number of hours. And what you do in that time is what you get.
You have to have the tape ready to go.
Yeah.
So.
And unusually, that having that lack of time pressure, we'll just get it tomorrow. You're relaxed. You sit down, and you end up doing it much faster than you would if you had a clock on you.
You're not stressed out about it.
Not stressed at all. You're like, well, if I mess this up, all I got to do is just do it again. And we can sit here all night and do that. Or we could just get it done now.
But, I mean, the majority of these takes, we would do four or five takes on each track individually. And if something worked, it worked. If it didn't click at the end of the day, then it was tossed in the scrap pile, and you just waited out for another day or two and come back to it when you're fresh to look at it, so and move on to a different track. So yeah.
You're a trio, but you've got a lot of great help on this. You mentioned Anthony Ball, who yeah. you're familiar with Northwest Arkansas music.
Yeah, he's a fun gospel king for yeah. this region, wonderful jazz player as well. So
Fernando is on there.
Fernando Valencia is U of A percussion professor, originally from Columbia and very versatile. So yeah, we have a Latin track, and that was just like, I loved it. We got here.
Fantastic job.
I loved it. We got here, and Joe and Greg was like, we have a Latin track. Joe had been tossing this around for a little bit, and Greg, of course, knows all these wonderful East Coast percussion players as well, but we want to cut this disc in Arkansas. It's like instantly like, I've got the guy for you. Like, I'm doing all these like salsa Latin gigs with this guy over the history, and he's exceptional. So I was so fortunate to be able to block out some time with him to bring him in and work these out. So
and you can hear it in the recording. Yeah. He's a pro, and it just sounds it's awesome.
Candy Lee is on there.
Yeah.
Extraordinary Adams. Voice.
Adams came in. It's
actually, I think, Northwest Arkansas law that if you're going to make a CD, yeah. Adams Collins
well,
has to.
Adams and I go so far back, like doing working jazz gigs in this region. I grew up, he was finishing up his degree at the university here when I was attending school at the University of Arkansas, and I just started coming in. But we did a lot of jazz gigs, and it's funny because me and Adams were jazz players predominantly before and classical players, and he was an extraordinary vibraphone player, which is what we featured him on this disc. But the previous disc we had him playing banjo on. But I always laugh because he went up to Colorado to get his master's degree, and then he disappeared off the grid for nearly 3 years, and everybody in the scene around here was just like, what happened to Adams Collins? None of us could get hold of him or find out what was going on exactly. He had taken off to learn banjo on the road because you can't travel with the vibraphone. Had taken off globetrotting and had come back an extraordinary banjo player from just busking the scenes in Southeast Asia and Southern Europe and all sorts of stuff. So, but yeah, we have Adams on this disc, and it's been a lot of fun getting to go back to vibraphone with him, kind of similar to jazz year.
Vine Brothers online at Facebook as well, right?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Facebook, Twitter.
TheVineBrothers.com.
Yeah. yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations. This is the best one yet. Well, nothing you, against
I'm,
the others.
Yeah. No,
nothing
I'm pretty happy with it.
We thought the same.
We all agree with you.
So the title, No Candy, uh-huh. Pessimistic?
Actually dealing with... Sorry, philosophy. Joe, this yeah, is you can elaborate, but it happened with a flight and a book with Joe, so you have to let him talk about this.
So it's an elaboration of like if you don't know about something, then you're happy and you're
can't miss it.
If you see an empty bowl, you don't think about it. But if they put a sign in the bowl that says there was candy once in there, there's no candy in the bowl.
You now
you
that you're
now you
candy.
Want the candy. You want the candy. You want the candy that was supposed to be in the bowl, and it's not in the bowl. And that, but before, when it was an empty bowl, if it was a pile of candy and it said, and there was a pile and a sign out of it that said no bowl, you'd be like, where's the bowl?
This all came from though. Joe was flying yeah. back.
But that's a reduction of Sartre sort of argument on bad faith, as I understand it. And yep. I got that. And I didn't really understand it before, and I was on an airplane, and I landed, and I get Korean food with my sister. She's big into Korean food. She loves it. And there was a bowl, and in the bowl, there was a sign that says, no candy. And I'm like, oh, it all makes sense now. It all makes sense. So, you know, everything I know about philosophy, I know from books. I never took a course or anything, so it's just the thrift store version.
That's all you do in the courses anyway.
Yeah.
You read the books and you talk about it.
Yeah. Well, it can be confusing, though, because, like I said, we have candy on this, so that's been kind of also inside
well, that's of right, that's right.
So there's a little bit of candy in there
yeah,
somewhere.
If Candy Lee it wasn't on the disc, we probably would have named it something else. Because
it would have been Bad Faith or something, yeah, like one of the title yeah. tracks.
It was too irresistible.
It was too irresistible because candy... She's literally on the first.
Yeah, she's on the first track. So she's
literally on the first track.
And it's kind of an inside joke, you know. Yeah.
The Vine Brothers are Joe Credit III, Greg Bucking, and Garrett Jones. They visited the Furman Garner Performance Studio earlier this month, and their new CD is titled No Candy. And here they are, again from our studio, playing the first song on the CD, The Well.
Cool drink upon your tongue. They say the fountain will keep you young. There's more at the well, as far as I can tell. Banged up and tossed around, as far as I can tell. As far as I can tell.